Hello and welcome to a new GCS Connect event. This is called The Generation Gap. Very funny start to it for the fact that Jack's a lot younger than me and should be tech savvy. And you can't follow a link, Jack. Hello.
Hello. Sorry for being late. Teething problems. Panicking, sat in one of our very lovely booths that looks a bit like a nightclub. But I'm not in a nightclub. And the link didn't work. So I do apologize for being 6 minutes late altogether, but we got there in the end.
We did. So this started because you and I, last week in our London office, we were just talking through stuff. And we're both huge ambassadors for mental health. You've got obviously your story, I've got my story. And we decided, well, actually, there's a lot of synergy here with regards to what we talk about in the sense of the generations. You know, I'm sad to say that I'm actually old enough to be your father. And that's just wrong, in my opinion. You know, there's exactly, I'm double your age.
Double the wisdom.
Thank you. I like that. So it was really interesting just to get a bit of a take on it. So do you want to just give everybody a little bit introduction about who Jack is? Because people know me and probably bored of my face and voice, etc. So just bring us up to date on who you are, Jack.
Definitely. And I hope they don't get bored of my voice by the end of this series. Hopefully I'll be here for more time and on time. So, hello, everyone. For those that are tuning in, my name's Jack McMillan. I work for GCS Recruitment, in particular for the GCS new cyber exciting division. I'm a senior cyber consultant. I come from a very kind of mixed background. I come from a professional sporting background in particular. I left school quite young at the age of 16. I went on to play professional football in England for a football club called Notts County, which then led me on to playing for a number of different clubs across England. That did come to an abrupt end. And I then embarked on a journey to find more about myself than ever, understand exactly who Jack is as a person. I went for a lot of years living in a bubble throughout the football world, and that journey took me across Europe. I moved to Rome in Italy to do my master's in sports business management. Learned a lot about culture and met people from all parts of the globe, which again expanded my mindset towards different situations, and also, you know, everyone's take on life is super different, right? We've all got a different lens. We've all got our own pair of eyes, and I think it's about understanding everyone's perspective on a situation. And from that, I actually had a conversation with David over LinkedIn, our CEO, and before I know it, I've been here for nearly a year already, which is wow. Absolutely crazy. And I think this topic came up because me and Aaron sit next to each other in the London office when we're both in there. We always embrace each other with a massive hug, which is a great start to the day and sets the tone really. And we got on to the conversation because, yeah, like Aaron's already said, we're from different worlds. We're different age groups. We have different social and society expectations on our shoulders. I'm 25 years old. I've come from a completely opposite background and environment that's brought its own challenges and experiences. And I'm sure Aaron will go on to explain his as well. And today we wanted to have a conversation in more depth about the society expectations on our shoulders, what it looks like from, you know, my lens compared to Aaron's, and also linking that to the pressures that we face as individuals across business, but also personal lives. And here we are. So that's kind of maybe the background of why we're actually doing this today.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for that, Jack. So, I mean, you know, you and I, we do, even though that we're poles apart in the sense of our generations, we've got a lot of synergy and we have an awful lot of fun in the office as well. I won't say that too loud, actually, in case David is watching this. But, you know, the thing that we started talking about last week was just around almost like the expectation upon people, and the pressures that you put on yourselves, or we put on ourselves, I should say, because the pressures I put on myself during my growth and my career, etc., may be very different, but it's got the same end goal. We all want to grow, we all want to exceed. There seems to be a big uptake on sort of like some negativity around younger generations, and the younger we go, the more negative comments come through on the fact of how easy you've got it, and you know that it wasn't like this in our day, and now you can talk about this and you can talk about that. And you know, everybody that ever follows me knows that I'm openly gay, you know, I don't hide that, etc. I don't necessarily live whatever a gay life culture style is, that's not my scene. However, you know, I could not be myself growing up in my school years, my teenage years, et cetera, et cetera. It was very sheltered. You guys, thankfully, have a very different version of that, and you can be so much more sort of like fluid in the sense of how you represent yourself. Come back to me with some thoughts on sort of like your stories and what you experience.
It's a really good question. I think if we were to start in my shoes, again, we can compare it to what the upbringing and the society that you were part of. I think they are polar opposites because, as you said, our generation, I think, are just branded with the same brush as such.
Yep.
I think you've probably heard the term more money, more problems. And I think that comes through more opportunities, less satisfaction as well, and more regrets. I think the more, as our generation now, you know, looking at it, and all the generations that I speak to daily say, your generation's the best for living, you know, this time, what a time to be alive. It's absolutely fantastic. And I totally agree. I think the fact that I can get on a plane and, you know, live half my life, you know, around Europe in the space of 2 hours, I can be in Vienna. It's quite amazing, you know, for a cheap flight, and I can do this. I can luckily do my job from anywhere. But I think the more society gives us, the more pressure we have to live up to that expectation of what it expects of us, right? So I think, you know, we can go into the social media debates, we can go into what we're supposed to live like, what does a 25-year-old, you know, guy living half his time in London, you know, I'm healthy, I exercise mentally, I'm, you know, I would say I'm really solid in that sense. What am I supposed to live like? What comes across as you're doing really well and what doesn't? I actually, on my social media last night, I actually asked my community, like, what's your definition of rich? And what does your rich life look like? Because, and as soon as I say rich, people will say, oh, monetary value, right? And I think our generation are closer than they think they are to being rich in what actually is valuable for them. And I think my generation, and it's the same with all generations, but I think we're all playing a different status game. My status game is different to yours, Aaron. What you value in life is different. So you will spend certain amounts of money on what you like to do. That could be buying fishing equipment or traveling on a plane like I do. No, maybe not. Even though my brother, he won't be watching this, but my brother's like 28 and he's like a fisherman. That's all he does. So that's his status game, right? That's what he values. That's what he wants to buy. And that's what he wants others to think of him of. Yeah. For me, that's different. To you, that's different. And I think because we're all playing a different status game, that comes with certain society pressures. And I think for example, my status game, you've probably seen it on my socials. If you keep up to date with me, I'm always on a plane. I'm always in a new destination. And
I'm always stalking you, Jack. I'm always stalking you, buddy.
That's all right. That's fine. As long as it's just virtually, that's fine.
Yeah.
and I think that's what I value the most, you know, new cultures, new environments. Some people might value fashion, you know, some people might value brands. And I think the society pressure is what our status game is. And I think that's what it comes down to. And the opinions of others, right? That's with a humans are very egotistical, like we know. I think if you say you've not got an ego, you've got an ego. And I think it's about actually accepting that you have an ego. And that's not a bad thing. I think everyone thinks the word egotistical and thinks you're arrogant.
Yeah, it's
an arrogance, or you know, you're a nasty person, or you're self-centered too much, and it's just all about you. It's not. I've got an ego, you know. I don't always think about myself. I've got an ego because ultimately I care about my status game. What other people think of me, you know. There's a reason why I went in the shower this morning and actually did my hair, is because I care about my appearance, and I care about. That, and that's just my ego talking, right? If I didn't have an ego, well, we wouldn't be anything, really. So I think that's really important for our generation to actually accept. And again, what's your stamp? So that's my kind of 25-year-old lens of the situation, because I think social media, obviously, again, is... If we go on there and we see everything at the same time. We see everything, million pound, the boats, the yachts, the cars, the jewelry, the fashion. And I think our generation are, you know, we're chasing. We're constantly chasing the tail. We'll never catch up with it.
Well, I think you mentioned something to me last week, is that for people like myself, when I was growing up, when it becomes the blueprint of sort of like something to aim for, you had your peers around you. We didn't have social media. We didn't have those influencers. And you mentioned to me last week in the office about the influencers. And then that gives you so much more of a different pressure, because that is what perfection should look like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, well, I've got some personal friends that are global influencers that have to obviously live up to an expectation online, because that's what they're following is wanting. And again, it's just like watching a TV program, right? TV program's not real. You know, we go on Netflix, we watch something because for that moment, we want to live their life or have a, you know, sometimes I watch Escape to the Country because I want to buy a house in the countryside. I'm not going to do it right now, but for that moment, I want to live in the countryside. I want to have that lens on my life and think, oh, what if? And it's the same with Netflix. And that's what, to me, there's nothing different between Netflix and social media, because when we go on social media, as soon as we click that button, we're in an ideal world. And unfortunately, it's not the real world. And influencers themselves will back me up and say, you know, there's a reason why Sky will need an influencer to get a certain channel promoted and to a certain audience. They'll post a picture or a video of them watching it, but they're not watching it all day, or they're not using a certain product all day. So I think that's where we've got to also accept that when we log online, it's just like going on Netflix. That's how I see it anyway. I don't know how you see it. It might be different.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a different view on that. And I think that there is so much pressure in the sense that what perfection should look like. And, you know, every single thing that I see, not every single thing, majority I see of selfies, that sort of thing, they've all got filters on. Nobody seems to be living in the real world. Gemma's come up with a really good point, actually, in our comment box. Gemma's, do you think the younger generation might struggle with imposter syndrome when comparing themselves to the success of people in the same position as them 10 years ago in the workplace? That's a great question, Gemma. I'll let Jack come in with that in 2 seconds. My take on it, I don't necessarily think it's a younger generation thing. I suffer with imposter syndrome. You know, am I worthy of being the person that I am? That's something that I've questioned all through my life. And I think that it is something that is an individual element, not necessarily a generation thing. Jack, what's your take?
Totally agree. I think especially now with how competitive the world is, with salary expectations, obviously we work in the recruitment space, right? So daily we're seeing what people want. We're seeing what they're asking for. We're seeing what they're on currently. And I think because everyone wants so much for so little, when you walk into a position, like, I'll be honest, when I walked into this job, of course, I had a level of imposter syndrome. I was thinking, you know, I'm an ex-footballer, never recruited a day in my life. How's this going to go, right? And the imposter syndrome again comes back to looking at what's actually reality and non-reality and the ideal situation and perfection. So I think, Gemma, to answer that kind of in a nutshell, I would say we are going to struggle because we'll walk into a job and we watch Netflix and we see it on socials. We want to work in a great office in central London and it's got to be perfect. And we walk in there and the anxiety over people's heads anyway to succeed and the workplace maybe not giving them the tools to hit the ground running. I seen a great quote the other day. It was like, well, if you want someone to hit the ground running, you've got to give them the ground to run on.
Yeah.
And I think we forget about that. And then we kind of leave people kind of in the dark as such when in a workplace environment. So I definitely think imposter syndrome is only going to get more severe with the more pressures put on us as a society. What do you think, Aaron, and from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, from my stand, you know, I'd already had an established career when things like imposter syndrome started kicking in for me, because I was really fortunate to get involved with what is now GCS, as we've gone through different brandings, etc. But 9 years ago, you know, I was invited by James Kahn to go and have a coffee and a chat with him. You know, and we all know James Kahn from Dragon's Den and from Hamilton Bradshaw Group. And there's me, you know, being invited to his Christmas do, you know, surrounded by multi-millionaires that have all been successful in the recruitment world. And there's little old me, you know, that have been working in a Luton privately owned recruitment business. Yeah, we were very successful, etc. And there's James talking to me as if I was at the same level as he was. And it's like, what the... You know, and I was in fear. I can still remember it now, Jack, that we're sat around this great big table and we'd been served dinner by it was just an amazing, in fact, it was in the RAC club in central London. Really elite. It was beautiful. So, you know, you go out, you get your best DJ on and everything like that. And sat around and you're eating, but you don't necessarily want to put too much food in your mouth because you've got all of these people around you that any time they're going to ask you a question. And I remember, and I got so bitter about it, and this amazing dessert came up, right? And it was just stunning. And I'm a dessert person. This amazing dessert got put in front of me, and then James walks over. And it's like, I can't now eat my dessert. James is coming to talk to me. Do I belong here? Should I be here? You know, and it was just such a real surreal moment. And I still suffer with it. And when I first sort of launched my business and, you know, sat around a board table with incredible talent, I suffered with imposter syndrome for that. But also, I was in awe. It was just like, wow, I am sat at this table with some incredibly gifted talent in the industry that I love.
Yeah. It's funny because I've got so many examples of even back in the football day where I got imposter syndrome, just sitting next to an international footballer, I'd be like, am I even, you know, worth being in this squad? And I think it's the same in this job now, right? Especially because we're becoming more talented in our jobs because we've got more resources to do a good job. And I think the managers, I think, are getting younger maybe overall, because I just think it's a younger generation overall of people are coming into work and being more successful from a young age.
Yeah.
I think also if you think imposter syndrome, I don't know how the community feels about this, but it's never as bad as, you know, it seems. It's always worrying about it, and then after it's like, oh, it was fine. You know, actually, it's fine. And I think that's most of our worries are things that actually never do happen. And I think
we massively big things up in our own heads.
I think that's where imposter syndrome for me comes from, is just controlling your mental energy towards a situation like the James Caan thing. Completely agree. Like, if I was in that situation, I'd be like, absolutely. Like, but ultimately, he's just another human being, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's what it could. We just need to bring it back down to the surface. And I think being in an, if we bring it back to the business environment as well, of how, what a culture is like within a company, everyone says it. You'll agree with the clients that we deal with as well. They just want to hire good people. They want to hire humans, right?
And I
think that's where you can kind of sustain a level of humility throughout an organization where everyone's on the same kind of wavelength, and we can take things really seriously, but ultimately, you know, we've still got to have a laugh, and we've still got to maintain a level of humility. Exactly.
Life for living. And somebody said to me a really great phrase not so long ago, actually, is that we get so consumed with who we've been and also what the future's going to be that we forget to live in the present. And it's exactly that. The present is a present to us. So we should actually adapt to that and adopt it and embrace it.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it's
Sorry. Latifah has made a good point as well. The business.
Sorry, community... I can't see any of the questions.
Oh, don't worry. There you go. You can now. The business community can't run with experienced employees, and only should be along with the new generation. We should plan the career growth through the older generation, support and coach them. I totally agree. I'm an absolute ambassador with regards to mentoring and providing people with our knowledge and passing that knowledge on to people. If we can help to accelerate people's experiences and not, well, you can't accelerate people's experiences because it's self-led, but you can typically pass on scenarios that you've experienced yourself to then help educate people coming through the ranks. And I know that a lot of companies now, certainly in some of the older tech world, that they're having to, because we've not necessarily made those industries quite sexy enough still through the educational element. So we've got older generations coming to a point where it's purely being led by older generations, not new blood coming through. But now some companies are having to adapt to that and bring in things like the apprenticeship programs.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think if I just bring it back to GCS as a company, right? You know, I've got some amazing leaders, including yourself, Aaron, that when I'm in the office, I can ask a question at any point. And, you know, you guys are the ones that have been in the industry twice as long, three times as long than I have. So, of course, yeah, my bad. I didn't mean it like that. So I do apologize. I'll buy a coffee next week. I definitely think there's a pathway that companies can provide to just like almost, it was like when we were back at school, right? We had a buddy. I think I was like year one. I had a buddy in year five, and it was like, let's show you the ropes. This is the playground. Stay away from that group. You know, this is the dinner hall, and this is how we do things at our school. It's the same in a business environment. And I think, again, going back to, if you're not going to provide the ground for the employee to run on, they're never going to hit the ground running.
Totally. Absolutely. I think mentoring programs are absolutely key. And it certainly does strengthen an organization. We've got 60 seconds left before we've got to wrap up. And I think that there's going to be so many more things that we can talk about, Jack. And I think it's going to become quite a regular feature for us on GCS Connect. But one thing that I just really quickly, in sort of like 30 second answer, if you can, what's your thoughts around younger generations wanting to be gifted opportunity?
Oh, good question. See that every day with it within the recruitment world. I think you've got to earn your look, right? I think a gift for me, I see a gift as look. That's how I would justify a gift. And I've always been told that you need to earn your look. So your experience and your results speak for itself.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think what we'll do as well is that if we can jump on another one of these, maybe in a week or 2 weeks' time as well, because I think that there's just so many things that we can talk about around experiences and also the pressures around mental health. We haven't even touched on that yet today.
Not even touched the sides. Not even touched the sides.
So there's many different routes we can take. But Jack, great start to our new episode. Brilliant. Even though you couldn't get online to begin with, you know, maybe you'll learn the use of technology between now and next week. I need a buddy to
help me, you know what I mean? It's because you're not here, that's why.
Let's chat again soon, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.